Well, today is going to be a little, it's going to be a little two-part message. Can we do something out of the box today and have a little two-part message? Yep. Yes, we can. Of course, hi, my name is Brian. It's great having you at Crossroads today. I want to just kind of highlight two things that also relate to what we talked about last week. We're in this Christmas series, and we're looking at how there's people, at least last week and this week, people who aren't very well known and yet are central to the Christmas story. We can learn things from them. But before I get into today's person, two things I want to highlight. Just again, Christmas at Crossroads is going to be a lot of fun. In fact, I think a lot of us in here are going to love it so much, you might even forget about Awaited. And you're going, no, seriously, for a lot of people, this is going to be an amazing, amazing experience. You're going to love it. If you're going, Awaited, what's that? Awaited is something that we've done for, about 11 years or so. Last year, we had about 120,000 people at Oakley and at Mason. And what we decided to not do Awaited any longer for a variety of reasons we went into last year. I don't want to go all into them right now, but I do want to give you an update on Awaited. I got two things for us, and it relates to, both of them relate to finances, positively finances. The first is Awaited. As you know, we're not having Awaited any Crossroads building this year. We're putting all of our resources and having a great, great thing at every Crossroads site, whether it's in Kentucky or Ohio, wherever it is, every Crossroads site to have an immersive experience for your family, your friends, and we couldn't be more excited about it. And we also recognize that God has given us and stewarded to us, if you will, an incredible creative modern artistic telling of the Christmas show, of which there maybe isn't any equal to it. At least we don't know of anything else that has had that kind of viewing or that kind of showing. And because of that, people in the theater world have taken interest in it, and we have just signed papers with the most prestigious performance house in the Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana area. That would be the Aronoff. That Awaited will be at the Aronoff next year. This is a really, really, really big deal. This is a huge, 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 huge deal. This is not going to be done by Crossroads staff. It's not going to be done by Crossroads volunteers. Actually, there's a couple staff members who are going to kind of do it on the side or maybe have a different career path they're going to work on. But this is something that the world is going to be able to experience. This is something that will have professionals top to bottom who will be producing, will be acting, and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to be using Crossroads resources in that production other than Crossroads resources have started, have kickstarted, have gotten it going. And there used to be a day a long time ago, when the greatest art in the world was created by followers of Christ. Go to any old art house, go to Louvre over in France or anywhere you want. It used to be a day and time the greatest art was created by people who are followers of Christ. Today, not so. For now, for a piece of art to come out of here that tells the greatest story ever, to be picked up by the Aronoff with the possibility of touring nationwide on Broadway, friends, that is amazing. That's amazing. There's no guarantee it's going to be going outside the Aronoff, but one thing we do know that it is going to be at the Aronoff, and it was fascinating that I had the heart for Awaited or a show like it when I came out of A Christmas Carol. When I first moved to Cincinnati back in 1997 or 8, where I went for the second time in a row, and I realized, my gosh, everyone's coming to this Christmas Carol thing, like the same thing over and over. It would be great if there was an institution in Cincinnati that would give the Christmas story in a spiritual way, that would tell the Christmas story, that could live on, that people could come to again and again and again. We heard the COO of the Aronoff Center cast a vision for us, said, we would like Awaited to be a Cincinnati institution at Christmas. Exact same words, exact same thing I sense God said to me 12 years ago. So I couldn't be more exact. This is great news. So here's the thing. It will be a ticketed event. It will cost. If you want to go, for to be clear, Awaited has always cost. You just never paid. So it's really important to understand. Well, you paid if you're a giver at Crossroads. We certainly paid. But it is the same kind of pricing that you would have if you went to see anything at the Aronoff. And we would love for you to get ahead of time. We don't know how fast tickets are going to go. If you want to at least tell your kids, your family, I know we can't do away this year, but you can next year. You'll be able to go. Go to awaitedshow.com, awaitedshow.com. That'll have all of the information on this. Now, Crossroads will make money off of this. But, oh yeah, wow, crazy. But to be really clear, if tickets sell, it will. But to be really clear, this isn't about Crossroads making money. This is about Crossroads being able to do the things that God has called us to do, and those things take financial resources. We've already heard from people in the community, and the Cincinnati Tri-State community have said, I'm buying tickets. I've never been able to get tickets before. I'm going. It's going to open up a whole new venue. And you know what? How big is your God? I believe more people should hear about Jesus than Hamilton. I believe that Awaited can and should be that big, and so do other people in the professional theater world, which is why they've entered into agreement to showcase it at the Aronoff. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? That's pretty darn cool. So would love you to support it. Would love you to get tickets. So whoever gets tickets and goes ahead of time, that's going to help the production costs on it. This is a big way for us to push forward. And why do we do things like this, by the way? Why do we do things like this? You have to understand, this is coming because of a command from God. Yes, a command. Not one of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. It's a command from Jesus, known as the Great Commandment. Go into all the world. Some people say, well, why does Crossroads keep trying to push it? Why does Crossroads keep trying to reach people? Because it's commanded. That's why. We're not playing church here. We're not trying to say, oh, let's get some people in a building and have warm tinglies go up and down our spine, though I hope we have warm tinglies go up and down our spine. We're here because God has commanded us to be a blessing to the world and to use every single thing we can, including art. And there was a day when the greatest art was by his followers, and we want to see that day come again. And so we're going to keep pushing on that. Now, that's the end of my first one. The second little bit of this, and this is the first part of my two-part message, is another financial thing. Tickets is one. Another financial thing is, we are coming up to the end of the year, and the end of the year, we're just like any other nonprofit. We are made or braid. That's not right. Making or breaking, make or break. What's the past tense of make and break? Made and braid, whatever it is. Moke and broke, whatever it is. By year end giving. So we just encourage you, if this is your home, this is your church, let's just remember that this year as we come into the final 2 weeks. You know, last week we talked about Zechariah, who is a person that was a part of the Christmas story, who's never in a Hallmark card, who never is in a little manger scene, and yet he was pivotal to the story, and out of him came John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus. And John the Baptist, when he looks at Jesus, he proclaims, here he is, the Son of God. Now, while John is out doing his thing, people are coming up to him and they're talking to him, trying to figure out how to get more spiritual, how to get closer to God. Listen to what John says, John 3:10 and following. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to him to be baptized. And they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. So he's got three crowds of people that come to him. He gives three different pieces of advice to all these three. The one through line through all of these three things is finances. The crowd comes and says, hey, what should we do? How do we get closer to God? He says, share what you have. That's what you do. Share what you have. Share your tunic. Just share. Second, people come. It's the tax collector. Say, what do we do? He says, it's very simple. Do not take money that Rome hasn't authorized you to take. Don't steal money that you shouldn't steal. Don't do that. Third group is the soldiers come. What should we do? Very simple. Do not threaten people and take the money. Do not extort people with money. It's interesting how God, John, in this address, that three different people says, a through line of spirituality is how you approach money, how you approach your stuff, how we feel God's presence relates to what we do with his things. So I just encourage you to be cognizant of that and be saying, how can I fuel the church that has built into me and has helped me and is hopefully going to build into more and more people across the world this next year and this season? You can go to crossroads.net/give, and that's all I have to say about that. So we're going to see a little video that's going to get us ready for the rest of what I'm going to say today. And before we do that, if you want to be generous today by old fuddy-duddy ways of checks or cash, you can. If you're newer today, we're just excited you're here, hoping we're not freaking out too much because a lot is going on right now. Just feel free to let that bag pass you by as we get ready for the second part of what I got for us today.
Birth? I'd say it's the time that Jesus got born.
This is celebration of baby Jesus.
And all the hotels were sold out, so they didn't have any more rooms left.
He was born in a barn, I think.
Born in a barn with hay and animals.
And the shepherds like saw the star and the angels.
Some of them don't have wings and some do.
Probably with wings, because so far what I've heard of, angels have wings.
Probably giant white knights dressed up in white and gold armor.
The three wise men followed the star
to see Jesus, I guess.
Wise men came to give stuff to him. What's a baby gonna do with it? Eat it? Choke on it?
Oh, man, you know, it does seem that when you're a child, things just were easier. They were simpler. You didn't have to worry about stresses that adult people have to worry about. You didn't know about stresses for the most part. I know that some of us had some really painful childhoods, and Christmas was a part of it. I know that. But for most of us, we were blissfully unaware of credit card bills. We were blissfully unaware of the two-party system. We were blissfully not concerned about corporate downsizing at all for us. And so we're trying to figure out, how do we get that kind of simple joy and peace that we may have had as children? Let's pray about that before I go any further. Lord, I'm excited about the things we've been talking about today already. And I'm excited about this Christmas character we're going to learn more about today. I pray, God, you'd help me to be clear. Help me to know ahead of time what we might be thinking and how to address those thoughts in our minds. Help us to have hearts that are more fully formed to be strong and pure and put before you. Thanks, God, for the honor to talk about amazing, transcendent things. I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. So big idea today, big idea is this. Who wants peace? I want peace. Peace, who wants it? I want peace. Big idea for peace. Peace comes with patience and pain. Yes, peace comes with patience and pain. We're looking today at another person that most of us, many of us, have never heard of before. He's a stranger to the normal telling of the Christmas story. He's never been on any Hallmark card that I've seen. He's never been in a manger scene on anybody's coffee table. His name is Simeon, and he used to say some things. No, not Simon, who invented Simon Says. His name is Simeon. And Simeon was a really unusual guy. He's unusual in how he lived his life. He's not unusual because he had some special DNA. He's unusual in how he lived his life. And if you want to be unusual, you'll live your life in such a way, you'll be able to have the peace that he has that transcends the average mean of peace that takes place in our culture. Before we read about him, I'm reading a long section here today. We've got a section here of Mary and Joseph, then it goes right into Simeon, and it goes right with each other. Jesus has been born. We'll talk about that more in the next week. But Jesus, in this story, as it's progressing, Jesus has been born. And Mary and Joseph are his parents. Mary and Joseph, 8 days after he's born, they are to take him to the temple, because this was a Jewish custom that 8 days after the eldest male in a family is born, you're to take him and you're to dedicate him at the temple. And so this is what Mary and Joseph go and do. And it says this. It says, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of two turtle doves or two young pigeons. Every male, you're supposed to go and you're supposed to bring two turtle doves. And so they do. They bring Jesus and they bring two turtle doves. And why do they bring two turtle doves? They do this in all likelihood because they're strapped financially. There was an allowance made that if you couldn't afford the normal thing, which was to bring a lamb, that you could bring two turtle doves. But apparently they had enough money to not only bring a solo partridge and a pear tree, they had just brought two turtle doves. I'm trying to be funny here. You guys are not going with this at all. It should be funny that I'm trying to be funny. It's not funny to you. I'm trying to have us remember things. You know, this is the truth about Jesus. He was born without a lot of wealth in their family. And this is another clue that they were working class family. Many of us think that, you know, if only I had more stuff, if only I had more money, if only I had more opportunities, if only I had more, then I would have more peace. I would have more peace because then I wouldn't have the stress that I have right now. I would be positively stimulated. And others who have more wealth, who have maybe a business, who have more stuff, they likewise say, you know, if only I had less, I would have more peace. We all want what we don't have. People who don't have much want more, thinking that's what's going to get them more peace. People who have a lot think, well, yeah, I know I have a lot of toys, but you know what? You have a simpler life, and you don't have to worry about payroll. You have to do all that. They oftentimes want the simplicity of less. We all want what we don't have, but one thing we seem to all have in common is a lack of peace, a lack of joy. One person I read recently said this, 25 years ago, Christmas was not the burden that it is now. There was less haggling and weighing, less quid pro quo, less fatigue of body, less wearing of soul. And most of all, there was less loading up with trash. Yes, that was written in Harper's Bazaar magazine in 1904. You know what? We've always been saying that we need to slow down. We've always been saying we're too stressed out. We've always been saying it's too materialistic. We've always been saying it. We've always been saying there's a reason why I can't find peace. It's just the culture around me. It's the way things are crushing down on me. No, it isn't the culture around you. It's you. It's you. It's your attitude. It's my attitude. It's the way we look at life. I'll tell you what, if I wanted to have a peaceful life, the best time to be born, no question, is 2018. That is the best time to get born, period. You think people in 1700 had it easier to be peaceful than you? Certainly not 1904. We just read what that magazine said. 1700, my gosh, 1700. Okay, they didn't have to deal with Amazon. They didn't have to deal with social media. They didn't have to deal with credit card debt. Yes. And they didn't have to spend all day finding and killing something to eat. I mean, seriously, think about this. Today, we spend a very small part, less than ever in world history, of having food. It would take an entire day to find something to kill, clean, eat, cook, boil it, no microwave. We have credit card bills, and we've got food that we keep giving to Goodwill. We keep buying and giving clothes away that we don't need anymore. And you can bemoan the fact that we're spending too much money on clothes and material. Okay, but let's celebrate the fact that this, that you can actually have clothes without spending days on end hand sewing them. You can go in a moment and just buy warmer clothes. Yes, it's stressful, and let's complain all we want about medical bills and all that kind of stuff. And let's also recognize it's in 2018 when you have a greater shot to live if God doesn't give you a miracle healing than at any other time in history. Today, you have a greater shot of coming through whatever pain it is because you're in 2018. All I'm saying is this, friends, let's stop thinking there's a better time to have peace. There's not. It's now. But you and I have got to be different people. You and I have got to get on a different path if we want it. And that path, by the way, was walked by the name of a man known as Simeon. As Mary and Joseph are in the temple dedicating Jesus and giving their two turtle doves. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, before we get to that, talk about some things in this section. This is a guy who's just a normal guy. It says there was a man. That's all he is, a man. He's not a rich man. He's not a holy man. He's just a man. The guy we looked at last week, Zechariah, this was a priest. He was big stuff. He would go into the temple, into the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies. Not this guy. He's just a man. And he's got peace. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a man. I don't care if you're a woman. I don't care if you're a kid. I don't care if you're a student. I don't care if you're a divorcee. I don't care if you're single. I don't care if you're 20. I don't care if you're 90. This is just a man. We can choose a certain path that will help us walk in peace. And that path, Simeon marked out for us. He's just a man. And something about the way that he's lived his life, something about how he is, he's known as being holy and devout. So holy means he's distinct, but holy means he's different. So he's doing different things than other people. Not he's holy because he's got some special DNA. We already established he's a man. That's what it says. But there's something about how he's living his life, something about how he's thinking that makes him different. Something about what he's doing, that's what it says he is devout. And God says to him, at one point, he says, Simeon, I see what you're doing. I'm telling you what. I'm bummed as you are that Israel is going through as much difficulty as it is right now. Israel needs consoled. Israel needs a Christ, a Messiah. And I'm going to tell you that you're going to see that with your very own eyes. You're not going to die until you see the Messiah, the Christ. It'd be pretty freaky, wouldn't it? It's almost like, okay, so then when I see him, do I die the next minute? We don't know if this was told by God a year before, 40 years before, 50 years before, 20 years before. Not really certain. But what Simeon's certain of is that he heard something from God and he's going to see someone really, really important before he dies. It says that one day he gets up and it says that he was brought by the Holy Spirit into the temple. Actually, the exact phrase is, he came in the Spirit into the temple. God exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Whenever you hear someone say, you know, I sense God, or I felt God, or I heard from God. I'm saying heard here because those of us who might have said I've heard from God, we'd say that because most of us have never heard an audible voice, but there's been a sense, there's been an awareness. That sense, that awareness, that connection with God isn't specifically God the Father in heaven. It isn't specifically Jesus who's on a cross, who physically isn't here anymore. It's God the Holy Spirit. That is the agent that we know in our world. When you sense God, what you're sensing is the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, it's to your benefit that I go away, because when I go away, I'll send the Holy Spirit. Now, this Holy Spirit now, are we okay with talking deep stuff today? Are we okay with this? Because, you know, if you just want to talk about, you know, candy canes and bubble gum, I can do that. But we're here today. Are we okay with talking about something a little deep? Are we okay with that? All right. Okay, here we go. So here it is. Only in the last 2,000 years have people regularly been able to possess the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. We say, Jesus lives in my heart. Have you ever heard someone say, Jesus? No, Jesus does not live in your heart. I mean, he's too big, first of all. He lives in your heart if by that we understand God is one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. But what's inhabiting a person is the Holy Spirit. Now, this is only an invention that's been able to happen in the last 2,000 years or so. Before Jesus came to the earth and left the earth, this like rarely to never happened. What would happen is God would come upon certain people. It says this in this section, the Holy Spirit would be upon Simeon. The Holy Spirit would come upon people and they would sense God. And so the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon and he was drawn into the temple. This doesn't mean he's like, oh my gosh, I'm now a zombie. The Holy Spirit is pulling me. Oh my gosh, this is great. God's just making my feet walk. This is great. No, that's not how the Holy Spirit works. That's not how he works. The way he works, there'll be an idea that goes by your mind. You'll go like, wow, that's a pretty cool idea. Is there any reason why God wouldn't have given me that idea? Okay, then I'm going to say that's God. That's how the Holy Spirit works. It's like all of a sudden we go, ooh. You get to know the Holy Spirit a bit more. It's like when you start dating somebody. You know, when they start talking to you the first day, you can barely understand them, right? Especially if he's a guy, you can barely understand him. Probably never talks. Probably, he says something, you take it personally, you take it wrong, whatever. And the longer you get to know somebody, the more you understand what they mean when they say things, the more you understand their the way they behave, their character, the more you understand their tone of voice. You understand that over time. This is the way it is with the Holy Spirit. The longer you try to have a relationship with him over time, as time goes on, the more you're able to discern between what was the beer I had and what was the Spirit saying to me. Because there's a difference between the pizza last night and God touching you on the shoulder. There is a difference. Simeon has begun to learn this, and he goes, I think we're going to go to the temple today. I think that would be really good for me. See, this is how he's known as being devout. He's doing things that he's sensing. The way you become devout, the way that you have something beyond the average mentality that we have to have a transcendent peace is you start to sense the things that God wants you to do, and you start to sense how the Holy Spirit is coming to you, and you kind of go towards him. You almost, if you meet him halfway, you start to move in that direction. You start to do things. You start to be, as it's called here, devout. Simeon would work on his relationship with God. I think the very fact that he was working on his relationship with God and God saw him, whatever he was doing, might have been the reason why God said, dude, I'm excited about you. You're gonna see the Messiah in your lifetime. I'll tell you what right now, if you're working on a relationship with God, God is ecstatic. If you are working on it, he's ecstatic. Obviously, he would like if some of our things are scrubbed out of our life that shouldn't be there. But don't lose the fact, if you're working on a relationship with God, dude, he is happy. You are going in the right direction. And the longer you work on it, the more you'll have something that transcends explanation. The more you'll be able to have a sense of, not a sense of, an actual power that will carry you and give you peace when other people would be in a straitjacket. You'll be able to be in peace. And I'm wondering, so maybe this is why I sleep pretty well. And I I sleep really, really well. Maybe it's just trying to walk with the Holy Spirit for as long as I have. Maybe I'm just able to abide in the peace and let things go. Maybe. I don't know. But the longer we try to be in touch with Him, the more likely the peace is going to come to us. And it happens in strange ways. It's simple things we do. This last week I was in interaction with some folks, and there was a woman there who just started talking about, man, just some financial pain they've had. They had a sewage line go out and this and that, all, just massive, massive bills, and insurance wasn't covering them and this and that, all this stuff. And I sensed God say, give her everything you have in your wallet. So I did that. Opened up my wallet, and I was like, you know, normally that's not a big deal because I normally have like $3 in there. This day, I had a Benjamin and more in there. I'm like, Pull it out, roll it up. I said, hey, this is what Lib and I want to give you and your husband. You guys just need to have a great date night. Jessica, you need to take this, you go out and have a great night together. You know how to do that, you know? And it meant a lot to her. I could tell, and she told me afterwards. It meant a lot to her, but what really meant a lot more to me is I wanted to honor the voice that I believe was the Holy Spirit. I wanted to honor that because I want to tell him, God, I'm up for you talking to me, and I want more than what my natural life can give me. I want you. I want you. And this is what Simeon has going. He's just a guy who's chosen to live on a different plane and who's chosen to have the desire to honor God. So he sees this child in the temple. He sees him, and he sees Mary and Joseph, and they kind of have this connection. Like, we don't have any sense that they actually have seen each other. They've known each other before that. Maybe they have, but no sense of that. Sometimes, believe it or not, I can just tell sometimes in a room, like, who's operating at a different level. The other day, I had this this advisory board I'm on. It's not a church thing. It's some other thing that I'm on, and there was just. Like two different times, people would walk in the room and be on this board, and I was like, bored, and I just go, like, that person's different. I think that person may have God. Sure enough, after the meeting, both of them, absolutely, because they knew I was a pastor, so they'll approach pastor types, you know. It's kind of weird for me to go, hey, are you one of those weird people like me? That's kind of weird, but they came up, and I'm like, yep, sure enough. Sometimes if you have the Holy Spirit and someone else has the Holy Spirit, there's a connection there. You know what I'm saying? Anyone else ever felt that before? That's what's happening right here with Mary and Joseph. And we said the Holy Spirit is upon them. And Simeon, this guy, says, hey, man, mind if I hold your baby? Today he would have been punched in the face. You sicko. You're just hanging around where babies are, wanting to hold baby. No. I just want to bless your child. So he takes, it says, he took him in his arms and he blessed God and he says to Jesus, the infant 8-day-old Jesus, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. He's talking about himself. I'm going to depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Man, I'm going to be departing in peace. I came in here in peace, and I'm going to be departing in peace. And he puts a blessing on this child. I'll tell you, peace is not the same as happiness. We don't understand this. Peace is not the same as happiness. Here's happiness. Happiness says, if this happens, then I'll be happy. And to be clear, I want to be happy. I do. Does anybody here not want to be happy? Just raise your hand so we can see how weird. Okay, I want to be happy. Who wants to be happy? I want to be happy. But let's make sure we know. Here's what happiness is. Happiness is this. If I get a raise, I'm happy. If she says yes, I'm happy. Right? If I saw a good movie, then I'm happy. If I don't get a raise, I'm not happy. If she says no, I'm not happy. The movie sucked. I'm not happy. See, happiness depends on the, and I want to be, I want good things to happen, but peace is not about that. Peace is an attitude. Peace is an awareness. Peace is a presence. Peace is something you're patient for, and even in the midst of pain, You feel it. And it enables you to smile sometimes when other people aren't smiling. And it even enables you to weep and to be devastated. And believe it or not, still have peace. Because it isn't emotional driven. It's just a higher, different realm of emotion, a higher, different realm of settledness. And if you have it, you're able to be patient and you're able to endure pain. And very little in our world understands this realm of understanding. We are fed a media diet of Hollywood Christmas perfection through TV ads and billboards, Photoshop families hanging around tables laden with professional-grade food and expensive gifts. There is perhaps no other time of year where such a yawning chasm exists between what we are told we should experience and most people's actual reality. The world keeps trying to get us to be happy, and you'll be happy if you elect the right person. You'll be happy if you have the right possessions. You'll be happy if everything is going your way. You'll be happy, and those things just don't last. They don't happen often enough to keep us happy all day long, all year long, all life long. But there is a peace that does transcend understanding, and I'm quoting the Bible now. There is a peace that transcends understanding because it happens even in the midst of pain. And this is what is going to happen with Jesus and Mary. Luke 2:33 continues, and his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. He says, hey, this is great, but there's going to be pain, Simeon says. There's going to be pain. But even in pain and difficulty, there is peace. I think we can learn this from one of our community members at Crossroads, who just sent us this video last week.
All right, hey, Crossroads Church. My name is Staff Sergeant O'Keefe, and I'm thankful for you guys and the pastors of Crossroads and the worship team and everyone there who's dedicated to just spreading the word throughout the world. I'm listening, I'm following your sermons. Just started the Obsessed series, and I'm shooting this from Afghanistan as I'm deployed here with the U.S. Army. There's a small group of us that gather around a laptop every week and we watch a sermon. So blessed by you, I wanted to know that you're making an impact on the other side of the world here in Afghanistan. So thank you. God bless you all.
It's pretty cool, isn't it? That guy's got a lot of peace in his face, doesn't he? Hey, newsflash. He's in a war zone. He's in a combat zone, but he has a peaceful attitude on his face. I'm sure he'd rather be in the States with his family. But look at his attitude. Why is that? It's because I believe it's the peace of Christ that's on him. It's perhaps the Holy Spirit that is upon him. It's because he is perhaps devout. He's trending. He's wanting more of God. This is the kind of peace that Jesus tells us he will give us. Last verse today, John 16:33, it's Jesus' words from himself. He says this, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus promises two things. Number one, he promises pain. In the world you will have tribulation, he promises pain. Simeon said to Mary and Joseph, a sword's gonna go through your heart. Nails are going to go through his wrist. This is the one baby that the pinnacle of his life was dying because he was here to die for you and I so we wouldn't have to die forever. He agrees. Jesus says, I promise you're going to have pain and I promise you're going to have peace, that you may have peace. If we take on the right attitude, if we follow the prompting of the Spirit, if we say, I want a life that's different than others and I want to be patient for it. And the peace of Christmas that surpasses all understanding will be upon you. Let me pray for you. God, I pray that peace settles on us and on our entire household and all the friends that we're with, and that you would help us hear and sense your Holy Spirit in a very tangible way this holiday season. Amen.